welcome to the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Don Bishop, and I write as T.S. Pedramon. Now I'd like to welcome everyone. I already said that, but I'd like to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving for those of us in the States. And I'm recording this on November 22nd, so tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day when this episode releases. And I'd like to give you some story narration today. And yeah, I don't have a script for this introduction right now, so I'm kind of flying from the hip to insert a malapropism. But story narration was supposed to be a big part of this podcast as I originally envisioned it when I created it in 2020. And I've done scant little of story narration because I find recording it to be very time consuming, I guess. When I try to do it fast, it's frustrating because you can't. You have to give it the time that it takes. I'm still actually not giving it the time that it takes right now. I'm cheating, you could say. So I'm creating this podcast using Descript, a software that I pay for, and this gives me the ability to use some AI-generated voices. So that's what you're going to hear narrating today. You're going to hear the first little bit of Nightshade Unicorn. Forerunner is the name of the book. Nightshade Unicorn is the name of the series. Forerunner is the name of the first book. So let me know what you think of it. This is still, I consider, a draft copy. It's not the final form. Today's episode and the following two episodes will be story narration and continuing the story of Nightshade Unicorn. Now, I am serializing this story on Kindle Vella, and there are rules because Kindle Vella is a paid platform, and they don't want their customers paying for something that's freely available somewhere else. It makes sense. So I can share basically up to the first 5,000 words of the story, can be freely available anywhere. And so that's what I'm going to do with these first three chapters. They don't really align with chapters in the book, but it's close enough. And then after these first three episodes, I will share the audio, AI generated, because I don't have the time to sit and record the whole thing, especially while it's still in draft form. But for anybody interested in knowing what the story is about sooner than the convenience of AI makes that possible, to share it via audio. Now, looking at my notes here, I don't have a script, but I actually tried to record this video, and then there was a problem with the audio, so I'm recording it again, but I deviated from my transcript, and now I'm up the creek without a paddle. So, yeah, I will continue serializing and doing that both via text, where you can read it in Kindle Vella, or on reamstories.com. But I'll share it also via audio. I haven't determined exactly how I'm going to do that, whether it'll be Patreon or via Substack or something else. Unless you're really close to me and I can just share the audio with you, it won't be publicly available for free, at least not at this point in time. It can't be, because those are the rules, because I'm sharing it in Kindle Vella. So I'm talking too much. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the story. It is AI again. The voices are AI generated based on my own voice. I recorded a model for the software to use, or rather I recorded a sample for the software to generate a model to use, and it's not perfect. Some words, because it's fantasy, some words are not pronounced right because the English language does not know the names that I've invented. And particularly the name for the race of unicorns in this book. Generally don't call them unicorns. The word exists in the book. But it's not the most polite thing to call them. It's like calling humans two legs. It's a bare bones physical description. Doesn't do them service. So the Nemord is what we call the unicorns. Nemord. And I could not get Descript to pronounce that correctly. It wanted to say Namord, or Namord, or Numord, as I tried different spellings to get it to pronounce it correctly, and I couldn't. I got kind of close, but even still, it says Numord instead of Nemord. One day, I hope to have an actual voice actor record the audio. That costs thousands of dollars to have an entire book recorded, because it's time intensive, as I mentioned earlier. So, because of AI, I'm able to provide this free of charge for these first few chapters, and then for a small fee beyond those first three chapters. Now, I'll tell you, the final of the three episodes will come, of these first three episodes, will come out in 2 weeks. That gives me 2 weeks to figure out exactly how I'm going to share the rest of the book via audio. Be patient with inflections of the software. It doesn't do different characters' voices. I could do it. That would be an additional drain on my time that I don't have at this time. Maybe in the future I'll do that, and it'll be more like an audio drama, but not right now. And remember our contest, Fantasty. Send pictures of what you cook in your kitchen or what you grew in your garden. Send that to, you can send it to me on Twitter at Grand Hill Cron. If you search for T.S. Pedramon, you'll find me. But it's at Grand Hill Cron is my tag. So you can tweet it with a hashtag Fantasty, or you can send it to Grand Hill Chronicles on Instagram, or you can email it to fantasty@thorn.link. And so I expect lots of tweets or emails or instas with pictures of your Thanksgiving dinner, because that's fair game. The contest closes November 30th, and I'll send a $35 gift card to the winner. I'll reach out and find out what's the retailer or the restaurant of your choice. And I will not do an outro on this episode. So at the end of the episode, at the end of the story narration, you'll just hear the music, and then we'll see you next time on the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast to continue the story of the Nightshade Unicorn.
Nightshade Unicorn, Book 1, Forerunner, T.S. Pedramon, author at thorn.link, draft copy. This is AI-generated speech using a model based on the recorded voice of T.S. Pedramon, November 2023. Chapter 1, Legends, Tylonis. The Nightshade Unicorn is 8 feet at the shoulder and is waiting for a boat to escape his island. The sailor sneered at Tylonis. "Don't be preposterous," he replied. "I only beware conning salesmen and bad product, let alone a fictional numward." "You'd best watch yourself," the sailor insisted with alcohol on his breath. "Yes, I'll watch out so I don't get frostbite. Then we'll pull into port at Malnani, I'll make a few trades, and finally head home." He pulled his coat more snugly around himself against the northern chill. "He's right, Dirter." Another sailor joined in. "I had a friend what saw it once." "I'm sure he did." Tylonis turned away from the men and looked to the horizon, trying to enjoy the sunshine without engaging them. "We're sailing into northern lands. That's where he lives," the first sailor said. "I have these charms what will keep him away. I just want to help you stay safe. 4 marks each. And every one of them will guarantee the Nightshade Unicorn stays 5 paces away." Tylonis stood. "Beware the Twisted Lands. The Nightshade Unicorn wanders there and eats poor travelers who wander in. The Numward don't eat people, even if you paint their fur dark colors." Tylonis stepped around the sailor and walked aft of the armadillo, heading down to his berthing. He wouldn't put up with this. He needed to draft a letter home, besides. He descended to his quarters shared with another passenger, a man from the university in Bolsnard. His roommate was in their room, already occupying the small board that passed as a desk. "Do you think you'll be long, Rubiro?" "Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I'll clear off now." "Thank you. I've had enough talk of old fables up top, Nightshade Unicorn and all." "Ah, yes. You know, we cannot say for sure there isn't such a creature. In fact, The old stories my colleagues have dug up seem to mention something, mind you. They're not the easiest to translate, which wasn't a proper nomord. You too? Tylonas looked at the scholar in disappointment. Well, the stories have that in common. They speak of a great calamity that followed the appearance of a dark beast, and most of them identify that beast as a nomord. Rubiro finished packing his papers away and stood. Yes, I'm sure they do. Tylonas sat and pulled some stationery from the satchel hanging on his rack. But the supposed time of calamity was thousands of years ago, and the stories don't actually say the dark beast was the calamity, right? Well, Rubiro blinked, thinking. He cocked his head. Some do, but there is disagreement between texts. At the very least, the dark beast appears before the calamity, and there are old battlefields that we... Don't mention dragons again, please. Rubiro was indignant. I wasn't going to. Only that there we have discovered battlefields where we have no historical record of a battle occurring. Indeed, we find intriguing artifacts. Tylonas ignored the man and put his attention on the letter he wrote, trying to focus as the winds outside changed and the armadillo began to sway. The island. Tylonas landed his small lifeboat on a cold beach, looking uphill at curious vegetation. It was nearly as green as the vegetation he had seen farther south, but it was somehow wrong, misshapen. He stepped out of the boat, freezing in his clothes, which hadn't fully dried yet. The sailors were good men, even if their stories had been wild. But the storm had blown them into unseen rocks, puncturing the hull. As the ship went down, the sailors had helped him into the lifeboat amidst the buffetings of the storm. Two accompanied him in this boat. He hoped the rest of the crew and passengers survived, somewhere. They had taken turns rowing. The sailors, strapping men of muscular bulk, had taken turns first. As the daylight came, they had headed west, which they said would land them on Ilonga. Now, sun high overhead, they both slept, keeping each other warm under an oilcloth blanket. Tylonas was the only one awake when he beached the lifeboat. He would wake his companions soon, but first he wanted a closer look at this curious island. Walking up the beach, ahead of him was a solid line of pine trees, if he was to believe the signature needles growing on the branches. But the trunks and branches themselves were gnarled and grew at random angles, confusing him. Perhaps this was just a species he was not familiar with. The sand underneath his feet moved the same under his weight as the sand at countless other beaches where he had landed for trade, but its color was a rusty brown with streaks of green and black. He picked some of it up in his hand to look at it more closely. As he did so, it seemed to change in hue to a more typical tan color. Despite this impression that he got of the color change, when he looked back and forth between the sand on the ground and in his hand, he couldn't put his finger on the difference. This place was certainly odd. Tylonas walked into the forest, observing all sorts of perversions of familiar things of nature. Deer that looked at him hungrily before baring canine teeth prompted him to draw his sword in case any came near. Yellow-gray moss stung his hand when he touched it. He felt sure this was not Ilonga. Ilonga was supposed to offer good lumber for crafting musical instruments, but it did not look like any of the wood here would be usable. They had been blown far off course. Tylonas did not recall having seen this place on any map he had seen of this part of the ocean. He certainly would have noted if there were any place that looked so alien. He continued walking inland, hoping to see some sign of civilization, but saw none. Those animals he saw and these plants that he walked past now did not appear in any encyclopedia he had encountered either. He pressed on, lowering his expectations as he went, hoping to find help, people, clean water, and something that he could feel safe eating. He hadn't believed the sailors' stories, but this place looked as though the creator had taken his plans for it and bumped a table on the way from the drafting board to the fabrication board, resulting in everything being mixed up and painted in a darker shade. He had never believed those stories before, but now he wondered. There were some things in the world that he couldn't explain, but they were at least consistent with each other. The Númenor did exist, and they had well-known magical abilities. They could heal and could make things grow. There were other commonly known creatures as well. Occasionally one might come across a jackalope, and it would scurry away and find a burrow, jumping down a hole that would be impossibly small to fit its antlers, but down it went, fitting in somehow. Then there were things that maybe existed, or maybe were true. Like the belief that one could attract the Númenor by laying out certain herbs or fruits overnight. One could never really know whether that was effective. Sometimes they would show up and sometimes they wouldn't. But that seemed to be the case no matter what people did, let alone laying out specific fruits. One just couldn't know. But any reasonable person would put no stock in these sailor stories of mermaids and dragons and griffins, let alone the ridiculous idea of the nightshade unicorn. Some stories of the nightshade unicorn held him to be a huge beast, 4 paces tall at the shoulder, with sharp fangs, that demanded the blood of children. Others depicted a more traditional Númenor, but with a dark disposition, even evil. According to the stories, the north wind was supposed to come, and the nightshade unicorn with it. The north wind would arise and resurrect the dark beast, who would kill anyone in its path. Tylonas placed no stock in these stories. But today, perhaps today was a day to consider whether the impossible might be dangerous, even if it couldn't exist. This land did look, well, twisted. He walked several more minutes, and the air grew distinguishably warmer. The sun shone pleasantly down. To Tylonas's relief, the plants looked more normal. He came to a spring and jumped down to take a drink. He paused, wondering if the water might be poisonous. Assuaging his fears of poison, a deer walked up to the stream 2 dozen paces down from Tylonas, calmly bent its head, and drank. Tylonas straightened up to look at it better, but it bolted when it saw him. No strange teeth or odd behavior from this one. Tylonas bent again and drank from the spring, quenching his thirst. Then he froze as a larger quadruped stepped up to the stream. It was closer than the deer, apparently not afraid at his presence. It spoke, the first word that left its mouth being the most terrifying. "Tylonas, the storm is coming. Are you ready?" Tylonas looked up into dark, serious eyes and found himself struck with fear. He sank into them as if he were struggling to escape quicksand, pulled under gasping for breath, and lost in a non-place, the stuff of nightmares. The nightshade unicorn stared back, boring into his soul. Not only did it stand before him in the flesh, but it knew his name. The dark beast preceded the calamity. Tylonas shouted a guttural, primal cry of fear.